Mama, we all go to hell. Mama, we all go to hell. I'm writing this letter and wishing you well. Mama, we all go to hell. Oh, well now, mama, we're all gonna die.
Test 1-2, mic test, test 1-2.
My love. Mama, we're all full of lies. Mama, we're meant for the flies.
Mic test, this is a mic test.
And right now, they're building a coffin your size. Mama, we're all full of lies.
Hello and welcome to the Homeschool Podcast. That's right, you guys. It's going to be that kind of week. That's how I'm feeling right now. So thank you very much for tuning in to the Homeschool Podcast. I know you got a lot of options for podcasts out there. So the fact that you're here means a lot to me. And I mean that, even though I say it all the time. What's up, you guys? My name is Augustino Zoida. I'm the host of the Homeschool Podcast. If you're returning, I really appreciate you. Thank you for coming back over and over again and continuing to listen. And if you're new, I appreciate you giving us a try. I got an episode for you guys today that is something that I do on here every now and then again is I have a solo podcast with just myself. No co-host, no guest. It's just me. And I usually do that when I have something specific that I want to talk to you guys about. And today is no different. So I got something that I want to talk to you about. Let's not forget the point of this podcast are part of the a big part of the podcast, Homeschooled Podcast, is that we're documenting the rise and the journey of a stand-up comedian, but more important than that, of a person who has a dream, an artist who has a dream, and they're trying to achieve it, okay? I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You listen to podcasts because you heard about someone because they're well-known and famous, okay? And then we're listening to their podcast because they're famous. And what we're going to do is we're going to listen to their experience right now. But what I want, and when I was I still am an aspiring comic, but I mean when I was first on the up and rise, I don't want a podcast of someone who's made it. I want a podcast of someone who is working to get it. I can relate to it. I want to hear about their journey, and that's what this is right now. Is I'm documenting with the journey, the experience, the challenges. And that's a lot about what this podcast is. Homeschooled means it's something that we've taught ourselves to do. I don't have a college education for this, you know, like this is not something that I took classes for. This is something that I've learned. You know, I've went into this trying to learn to be a comedian, but you learn so much more along the way. And a lot of it is self-taught and discipline. And I just want to make sure that I'm documenting it. And I hope that there's people out there that are listening to this now, that you are aspiring towards something. Me in particular, I'm a stand-up comic. Okay. And more than that, I'm a writer. I'm a lot of things, but mostly I'm a stand-up comic, but this is for anything. And that's why I have so many different types of guests on here that are not just comics. I have a lot of comics on, but it's more than that. Everybody has a different version of their struggle and their challenges and their journey to where they are and where they want to be. And that is what I want to document. And that is what Homeschooled Podcast is all about. And so we're going to talk about some stuff today. But first, this episode is brought to you by Embrace Pet Insurance, a very, very important sponsor of ours, okay? I have been trying for a really long time to get them as our sponsors, and they are now our sponsors, okay? So Embrace Pet Insurance, I mean, I can't stress enough the importance of investing in this for your pet, for your loved one, okay? I mean, obviously, I've talked about it before, And it's an obvious comparison to say, you know, why wouldn't you get it for your pet if you have it for you? But, I mean, it's so true. Nothing could be further from the truth, you know what I mean, than this cliche that I might be saying. I mean, it's 100% true. I mean, that there's so many accidents, there's so many unplanned things. And besides that, you know, animals get sick a lot sooner than people do. They get diseases, illnesses, you know, they get it a lot sooner. You know, they age a lot quicker than us. And besides that, even a young dog could get it. Like, you never know. That's the whole point of insurance is be prepared for the unexpected. And you should be prepared to be unprepared, you know, and that's what insurance is. So, I mean, I know that people love their pets. I mean, it's a part of the family. That's how I treat my pet. I treat it like a child of mine. And I know a lot of you have your whole entire heart into your pet. And you know something's going to happen to them one day. You know eventually they'll grow old. They're not going to live as long as you. And we all have to come to terms with that. But don't let it happen because of a freak thing. Don't let it happen because of an accident or something unexpected or an illness or a surgery that was needed and you weren't prepared. Don't let money be a factor. Like, I couldn't afford that surgery, so I had to let my friend die. You got to be prepared. Listen, guys, all I'm telling you to do is to get a quote. Click the link in the description of this podcast, and it'll take you right to Embrace Pet Insurance, and you can get a quote. That's all I'm telling you to do, okay? Find out. There's pricing for depending on your pet, the size. I mean, there's different plans depending on how much coverage you want. Just check it out, okay? That's all I'm asking you to do. Click the link in the description. It's worth your time. And that's all we're talking about today. Also, head over to homeschooledpod.com. I got tour dates up there. Check it out. I have a little bit of a facelift for homeschooledpod.com. The homepage, you might notice it looks a little bit different. I added a little bit easier to use. As soon as you go in, you have all those boxes right there. You can click on tour dates. You can click to buy merch. You can click to read the article that Voyage LA Magazine did on me. And, you can even find out more information on the Laughs and Crafts tour. I mean, it's all right there. Head over to homeschooledpod.com. Also, my Laughs and Crafts tour is going to be going to as many places as we can get it to go to. It's going great. And if you have a place near you, you want to see it come to you, you want to see me come to your town and perform, and you have a local brewery, like a tap room, like a little beer tasting room near you, and you have a suggestion for me, you can go on my website, homeschoolpod.com, click on the banner there, or just go to tour, and you can actually fill in, like, hey, I think that this place would be really great for you to do your comedy show and beer tasting event, and any information you might have on it. So that there's that too. All right, you guys, let's get into this. Let's get into this episode. It's the beginning of the week. This week just got started. For a lot of you, you're listening to this on Tuesday. Monday was a holiday. 30% of you had to go to work. 70% of you didn't. Whatever, okay, you guys? You got through another work day. It was just another work day. But the week starts now. Whatever it was, you know, I shouldn't have eaten that. I shouldn't have gone back on my word, my promise to myself. I shouldn't have been lazy. I should have moved forward. I should have worked harder. Listen, it all resets right now on Tuesday. This is Homeschooled Podcast. My name is Augustino Zoida. Thank you for being here. It's time to begin.
Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to do that at all. All right. I appreciate you guys being here. And like I was saying in the beginning, I got a couple things I want to talk to you about, and primarily it is about the journey and the struggles that comics go through. You know, there are great podcasts out there. I don't mean to put any podcasts down that you like listening to of really well-known, successful comedians. They obviously got to where they are because of the hard work that they've done. So I'm not trying to put any of them down. I am just saying it serves a different purpose. You know, it's one thing to hear a story about a comic who, you know, is recalling a story that happened to him like 15, 20 years ago, and, you know, about their journey and stuff. But it's another thing, I think, to listen to a comic who's going through it right now, or anybody who's going through their journey right now and sharing their experiences as it comes. Here's the difference. You know, you can go listen to a really famous podcaster and they'll tell you, man, you know, 20 years ago, you know, I had a hard time. You know, I showcased for, you know, Montreal just for laughs and I didn't get it. You know what I'm saying? That's different than what I'm doing. Here's why it's different. It's because there'll be one episode of me telling you, hey guys, I'm so excited. I just got a Montreal just for laughs showcase. This is it. This is going great. This, you know, I'm ready for it, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, the very next episode, I have to come back and tell you guys, I didn't get it. You know, it didn't work out. This is real. This is, like, literal, like, as it's coming in. You're experiencing this with me, you know? And so that's kind of what I want to talk about here. But first, I want to thank everybody who came out this weekend in Rocklin, California, to the Out of Bounds Brewery. You guys, the Laughs and Crafts tour is going great. I went over to Out of Bounds Brewery this last weekend in Sacramento. It was great. All the shows were sold out. People were having a great time. So if you were at the shows, I want to thank you, okay? It was a lot of fun. Fun crowds. Really cool staff there at Out of Bounds Brewery. Really fucking good beer, dude. Wow. I took some to go, just FYI, all right? But it was great. Great staff working over there and just great audience, and I had a lot of fun with people. And that's going to go into kind of what I want to talk about, okay? You know, if you're an aspiring comic or an aspiring anything, there's a level that you want to be at, and then you know someone who's already at that level and you really look up to them and you can't wait till you get there yourself. And that's kind of what happens. You know, right now I'm in a position where I can't wait till I'm at a certain level, and there's somebody looking at me wishing they were where I was. Okay. So that's what I want to talk about. So, you know, I started out as an opener, an MC, booking shows and then throwing myself up in the middle there for a couple minutes, whatever I can handle. And then, you know, you eventually go work your way up, and then comics start taking you out on the road with them, you know, to the classic like three-man show, which is a typical show done on the road. For a lot of you guys that don't know, there's different types of shows. And when you come to Los Angeles a lot, or on the East Coast, they do this a little bit too. You know, there's showcase style shows where you'll have like several comics that are doing like 15, 20 minutes each, and you'll see a lot of comics on one night. But then the traditional show is a three-man show where you have your opener feature headliner or MC feature headliner, okay? And a lot of the times, like at the improvs or these comedy clubs, or when you go on the road and do comedy, like that's what it is. I started as an MC when Joey first took me out, you know, with him. And then I worked my, actually, I'll take it back. First time Joey took me out, he was MCing. He had a monthly show at Brea Improv, where once a month, I think it was on a Wednesday, he would host, like, I forget what it was called, like, you know, something Wednesdays with Joey Diaz or whatever, and he would have, like, a bunch of comics do. First time he ever took me anywhere was for that and gave me a little guest spot. I did 15 minutes and he put some money in my pocket. That was amazing. And then, you know, other comics took me on the road as an MC or their opening act. And then eventually, after a few years, I got bumped up to feature. And I'd have to say, you guys, it was Joey Diaz who did it first, who bumped me up to featuring. And now all the other comics couldn't really offer me anything but feature because they knew I was featuring on the road. But of course, you just want to get to that headlining position. And that's, we've talked about this before. You want to be the headliner. You want to be the guy whose name's on the marquee. You want to be the guy who's doing the most time, the one who everybody's there to see, the one who they see last and remember. Okay. That's the goal. So, I mean, I wouldn't call myself a headliner. What a headliner to me is someone who puts their name on the marquee and actually sells tickets because it's their name on the marquee, you know, that's a headliner. Like if I tell you so-and-so is coming to town, you're going to go, I love so-and-so. And you're going to go buy a ticket to see him. Okay. To me, that's what a headliner is. But in our business, you can also be a headliner and not that. You can be the guy going last. You can be the guy who probably has more experience, has, you know, he's got a lot of experience. He has a lot of material, and something about their material makes them a headliner. You can be a really funny comic. You can have an hour worth of material. But if I watch you do it, I can tell if you're a headliner or not. I can tell, you know, like the material is great. It's just not headliner material. It's not, it's a little inexperienced. Yeah, you have an hour, but you haven't really worked out an hour set. You're probably working out 10 minute sets at a time, totaling an hour. It's very different doing an hour. Okay. Or even 45 for that matter, which is headlining minimum 45. So, I was going somewhere with this. Yeah. So anyway, you know, that's the goal. So, I mean, that is a headliner. No matter if you're a famous person, you're headlining. The club or venue booked you to headline. Here, you're getting the headliner's pay. You're doing the most time. It's a headliner. But to me personally, a headliner means throw my name up on the website or the marquee and people are going to buy tickets because they want to come see me. That's what it is to me. So personally, I don't think I'm a headliner yet, but I am headlining. The position wise, I'm doing it. Okay. I'm not doing it as much as I like. I'm in a weird position where I'm phasing in, like transitioning from feature to headliner. So I'm still doing both because I'm not headlining enough to not feature anymore. So I have to like still take all kinds of work. And so that's where I'm at. So I'm headlining lately. And some people look at that and they go like, man, I wish I was, you know, it's going great. Headlining a few clubs. Headlining a few venues like this last weekend in Rockland. I was headlining, okay? Great sets. All right, you guys. But with great power comes great responsibility. The amount of hard work and pressure and anxiety that goes into being the headliner. I mean, it goes into just putting on a good show. Also, if you're running the show, I mean, this is something that I'm doing where I'm putting in all the work myself. Okay. I'm lining up this tour myself. I don't have an agent that's doing this for me. I'm doing it. I'm lining up a tour this year. Okay. And I'm doing it all myself. So I want it to go well because there's a lot of pressure. You promise the venue and you're promising the people. Okay. And this venue gave you a shot. And these venues are not all comedy clubs. Some of them are comedy clubs and even more pressure if it's a comedy club. This is not just about business. This is about talent when it's a comedy club. You know, I mean, it's always about both. I mean, you want to be able to work that club again and again. Even if you do a bad set, I mean, you could ruin future feature work. So like, you know, for example, you set up your own little tour. You book a one-nighter at this comedy club out of town. And to headline, you go up there and you headline, you don't do a good job headlining. You know, the booker sees you and he goes, this guy's not headlining material. Now, the next time you want to come back as a feature act, you know, let's say Joey Diaz is doing that same exact club, you know, a few months later and he goes, hey, you come open for me. Now, maybe that manager is going to go, I don't want him. I didn't like him the last time that he was here. He didn't do a good job. So there's a lot of pressure with comedy clubs. Okay. But any venue really. So, you know, I'm setting up this tour myself, so I'm promising to these venues a great show. They're taking my word for it. They're taking my word for it so much that they're pushing it to their people. They put it on their website. They got flyers going around in their venue. You know, little table tents so people can see the upcoming events. They have their Facebook and Instagram fan page, and they're blasting it out for you, going like, you know, we got this funny comic coming. And they're doing that all based on what you told them, that you were going to put on a good show. And you're a professional. They're trusting you. And they also want to make some money. So there's a lot of pressure. So now I've got pressure to deliver to the venue what I promise, which is putting on a good show, which means me being funny and being the comedian that their audience needs me to be. You could be freaking hilarious. But like, what if that particular venue doesn't like that genre of comedy? Maybe they're going to go, you're too dirty for our audience who comes here. But at the same time, I don't want to alter who I am as a performer. I'm gonna do what I'm going to do. So I'm worried about that. Okay? But you got to do a good job. I also want to put on a good show. It's not just my performance. It's the entire show. Meaning the openers. Running a show on time. Very important. The venue and the people get very upset if you don't run your show on time. I want to start on time. I said 8 o'clock, we got to start at 8 o'clock. You know why? Because there's a second show. And if that one runs late, then you got people waiting outside. So they're getting upset. The venue is getting upset because they got people waiting outside when they should be inside selling them drinks. You know, your show's going to start on time and it's got to run on time. You got a little bit more, room, like leniency on the late show because there's no show after you. I guess you can run a little late if you want, you know, but and that's a little bit better. Sometimes they can sell a little extra drinks, you know. And I guess it depends on the venue too, because while the first show is going on, sometimes they have space at the bar and they'll sell more drinks that way while they're waiting for the next show. But you know, the people are going to get upset. They got babysitters. They made arrangements for dinner before or after. You got to run these shows on time, and it's got to be a good show. It's got to be high quality show. We can't just have like anybody's, you know. And by the way, while we're on the subject, let's talk about like what I've noticed in hard work. This is going to put some people down. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to say it, but I've noticed that, not everywhere in the country has the work ethic that the Los Angeles comic has. And I'm not going to say that it's only LA. I'm sure there's some other cities, like I bet you New York, they have the same work ethic, and probably, you know, Boston. And all these places that have big cities, and I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say that only LA, and I'm not going to say if you're not from LA, you don't have this great work ethic, but I'm going to say it's not as much, I've noticed. Like, I'm going to these other towns, and sometimes it's not worth it for me to bring some guys I know to open. I would love to bring my friends, A, to help them out, B, to be on the road with my friends, and, you know, C, bring great LA comics that I know are funny and that the town hasn't seen before to the town, to the venue. And that's what I would love to do. But sometimes it's not worth it for me to bring. It's not worth it, like, you know, with the budget. Some of these shows, the pay wouldn't be enough for me to bring the comic and pay for his hotel. It just wouldn't be enough. But also, like, and you know, a lot of them are willing to do it. It's just I don't want them to do it. It's too far for the little money. So that's the case. So now I'm looking for like locals. I go to these towns and I'm looking for locals. And this particular last weekend, was Valentine's Day, you know, so I'm hitting people up that I know live in that town. And I'm saying like, hey, you know, comics that I know, I gotta tell you guys, over the past like month of me trying to book these little shows on the road on tour, or the Laughs and Crafts tour, you know, I'm going to a city where I can't bring comics with me. The last like month or two, I've been hitting up a lot of comics that I know who happen to live in or near that city. And I'm getting a lot of them that do not want to do it. Half of them are going like, oh, I don't do it anymore. Or I don't do it that often. Or yes, I still do it, but I haven't done it in a really long time, so I might be rusty. And it was Valentine's Day, so this particular one, I got guys that were going like, yeah, you know, I got my girlfriend. It's Valentine's Day. And I'm just sitting there going like, what the fuck is wrong with these comics? I got Los Angeles comics that are begging me to come with me and do it. I don't want to let them do it. I don't want them to drive in the car 6 hours with me for that particular gig. Or, you know, another one was flying, which like the whole pay would have gone towards flying. And then I tell him like, hey, you know, it's not going to be worth it for you. All the money's got to go towards your flight and then you're not going to get paid. And they go, oh, it's okay, I'll do it for the experience. And I'm just like, I don't want that. I don't want comics to waste so much time and then you know, the one up in Northern California, I was going to drive, but I couldn't have anybody drive with me. I was trying to figure out my own situation, if I was going to fly, if I was going to drive. I didn't even know yet. And then also, I wasn't going to go right home after. And also, if I go up Northern California, I got a place to stay at my sister's house, you know. I can't have comics staying at my sister's house. And then they got to get a hotel, so I can't do it. So I got to hit up locals. But all these locals are just like, you know, it's I got my girlfriend, my wife, it's Valentine's Day. We already had plans for Valentine's Day. And I'm just like, what the fuck, man? And LA comedians are willing and begging me to drive on their dime to Sacramento for like nothing pay to do shows because they just want the experience. They want to do the road. They want to work with me. They want to do road shows and do different crowds besides LA and get the stage time. But I feel uncomfortable and bad to make them do that for no pay, you know? I know me. I'm going to end up feeling bad when they're there, and I'll end up giving them, like, you know, my check, which that's not why I'm doing it. I got to make my living too, you know? So I just don't want to let it happen. But that's the LA work ethic. Comics are just, like, willing. And then there's people that are moving from these places to LA, and it's like, you know, you want to come out here to LA, you guys aren't even ready where you are yet. I'm bringing you work, and you guys don't even want to fucking take it. So anyway, that got me a little irritated about the work ethic of some comics, but maybe that's just comparing the work ethic to LA. And I'm not saying that's everybody on the road. I'm not trying to offend you if you don't live in LA and you think that you have work ethic. I'm sure that you do, but I am telling you that is kind of what I experienced. And if you do think you have a work ethic, I'm sure maybe you do, but maybe you might want to think about comparing it to the LA comics. It's fucking unbelievable. Like, what we have to do. It doesn't compare. We have to fight for our lives. We have to fight for every single second of stage time that we get. This is the most competitive city in the world. I'm sure New York is probably the other most competitive city for stand-up comedy. But, I mean, I personally think that, I mean, LA comics are like the best comics in the world, and we're all like competing with each other. So just getting better and better as a performer. But not only that, they're so willing to work for it. There is no Valentine's Day out here. There isn't. There's no Valentine's Day here. Like, Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve is one of the like probably the two most profitable nights for a stand-up comic to make money. In LA, it's nowhere near as much as it is for when I go on the road. In LA, there's like, yeah, sure, there's some people that celebrate Valentine's Day, but it's not as much, you know, and there's not as much. You can't charge as much. You know, when you go out on the road, that's where you make the money on those days. I'm telling you guys, here in Los Angeles, there isn't even a Valentine's Day. For performers, for the artists in LA, comics, actors, there's no Valentine's Day. I'm sorry. Like, it just doesn't exist. Not for me anyway. And my wife knows that. You know, well, I might get her something small. We might go out the following weekend to a little dinner or something like that. But, you know, that's money-making night. So I just didn't get that whole aspect of it. But anyway, moving on to get back to the hard work and pressure and anxiety that I was getting, because I want to do a good job for the venue and for the people. For the venue, number one, you want them to ask you back again. So you want to make sure it was worth it for them. They make their money. And also, you want to make sure they like you as a person and you're easy to work with. And they will have to like you as a performer. If you're offending their crowd, they're not going to have you back. I'm a big, strong believer in the artist being able to do whatever he wants. But just get ready when you're doing your own business for yourself and you're building and you're still growing as a performer that not everybody likes everything. You don't want people to leave and walk out of your show or be offended, you know. So I just wanted the content to everybody to agree with. This last weekend, the woman who ran, great staff there, but the woman who ran the events there at the venue, management, she was awesome. She, like, her and her husband actually watched the whole show, you know, and brought friends, and they sat there and they, you know, reserved their own table and sat there and watched the show. So it's a lot of pressure. The whole time I was worried that she wasn't going to like the content of my material and think that it might be a little, you know, blue for her audience, but it was great. She was laughing. I think her husband really enjoyed it. I think it was my crowd. I'd say the early show was probably like 30 years old, you know, 28 years old to 50. And then the late show was all everyone probably my age, probably like, you know, 28 to fucking 35. So it was all great. You know, even the people that were like 50 years old or a little over 50 years old in the early show were really liking it. I'm not a dirty comic, but I do have stuff that's a little blue. I don't consider myself a dirty comic. If there's a bit that I think is funny and it's written well, I'm going to do it. Whatever you call it, clean, dirty, whatever you want to call it. But I mean, the shows went great. It went excellent. I have nothing to complain about. I just was worried at the time. Wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to offend their people. And like I said, I wanted to make sure that they were going to make money. And I think they were fine. They had two sold out shows. People were buying beer. People were buying their beers to go because they had great beer. I think that they did well. And overall, they told me they'd love to do another one with me again. Maybe next year I'll do it there again. And it went great, you guys. It went great, but I was just worried about it. The point is that you want to get to a place, and then when you're at the place, you have to do the job. You got to bring it. You ask to be here. You know, you work so hard for something, and then when you get it, deliver. Or you ask somebody for something over and over again. Hey, can I open for you? Hey, can I open for you? Deliver. Every position you want to be in. You went from doing 5-minute guest spots and then somebody asked you one day to MC for them on the road. Now you got to deliver. That means being an MC. That means waking the crowd up cold, warming them up from cold. And then having a couple minutes to do some of your material too. In a short amount of time. And then carry the show. If the next comic or the feature act doesn't have a great set, you got to go up there, have a couple jokes ready to bring the crowd back fast. Boom. And then bring the headliner out to a nice warmed up crowd. Okay. So if you're doing guest spots and you're sitting there looking at the MC, like that's the job you want. Somebody gives it to you, be ready. So go out there and practice and do it. And then after MCing for a while, you're going to want the feature spot. Man, I wish I was the feature. You know, I'm sick of having to warm up the crowd first. I want to go out there and not have to do crowd work and just get right into my material and have a good 20 minutes to 25 minutes to do my material. That's what the feature gets, anywhere between 15 and 25 minutes. You want that time. That's the killer spot right there, the sweet spot right there in the middle. And one day somebody's going to give that job to you, and you got to bring it. You got to have that amount of time, and it's got to be good. I know you're sitting there telling yourself, well, I got 30 minutes. Yeah, it's got to be tight. I don't want to lose 30. I want 30 without laughs. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't mean that could be taken the wrong way. I don't mean I don't want anybody to laugh at you. I mean I want the time of material you have to be 30 without laughs. You might have 30 with laughs, meaning you tell a joke, people laugh. You got to pause, wait for them to stop laughing before you continue on or start a new joke. So besides from that, without the laughs, without the pauses, I want 30 minutes of material. You know, you got to have that ready. Because what if you're bombing? You're going to blow through your 30 minutes in 5. So somebody gave you the feature spot, you better be ready to take it. Then you go, you know, once you're featuring for a while, you want that headliner spot, man. You can't, even from when you were an opener, you can't wait to get that headlining spot, man. You can't wait to see your name in lights. You can't wait to be the last guy that everybody cheers for. And you do the longest set and you make the most money. Everybody's excited to see you after the show. Like, that's what you want. That's where you want to be. You know, you when you get there, get ready. Because there's a lot of pressure that goes with it. You want to do a good show. I mean, forget about if you're doing the work yourself and producing the show yourself. Just say somebody hires you to be the headliner. Now you got a comedy club or a venue or something. Somebody paying you money to headline. You got to do a good job. You got to fulfill your obligation of amount of time to do each show, minimum, and you have to do good. I've seen it, and I've heard about horror stories of headliners being bumped down to features before the end of the weekend because they weren't bringing it like they should have. I've seen it. I've heard about it a lot. You don't want that to happen to you. It's a different ball game. It's one thing to not can't wait until you get into that position. And then when somebody gives you that position, that's another thing. You got to keep it. You got to keep it. You got to, there's a lot of pressure. I mean, Valentine's Day, let's say. People got babysitters that might have went to an expensive dinner before or they're going after. Their Valentine's Day ticket is a lot. $35 per ticket to see my show this weekend. But they had a twofer deal. Two people for 50. So then 25. So you're saving 10 bucks a person by getting two tickets, which Valentine's Day, typically people were parties of two. So still, $25 a ticket. I mean, to see me, who am I? This is stuff that's going on in your head. Like, I'm not, you know, a guy that they saw on Brooklyn Nine-Nine week after week. I'm not a guy that they see on Instagram that they perform at the Comedy Store twice a week. I'm not on a podcast that gets millions of subscribers. Why are they paying $25 a person to see me? Because it's Valentine's Day. And things are more expensive to go out. And venues can get away with charging that much money. That's why. So that means I can't put on a mediocre show from the opener to the feature to the headliner. The features have a little bit of an excuse. They can, as long as they are generally funny, do a good job. No one's saying they have to blow anybody away. But by the time it gets down to me, I got to make it worth it. Why are we seeing this guy? So overall, the show's got to be great. It was a lot of pressure. I felt a lot of pressure, you guys. It's a lot of hard work. It's not always fun. I'm having fun on stage. But until that part, I'm not having fun. The travel, the being on time, the starting on time, the show being good, the quality of the show, your performance being good. I just had a lot of anxiety, you guys. It is emotionally and physically draining. Okay? That's another thing. That brings me to the next thing I wanted to talk to you guys about. Emotionally and physically draining. Two sold-out shows, that's fantastic. I'm making money. People are out having a good time. The venue is making money. I was having killer sets. Fantastic, okay? But the stress and the emotional anxiety and emotional work and physical work that went into running it and planning it, which is something I do myself because I don't have an agent, is just it's just a lot, you guys. It just took its toll on me. I felt like emotionally and physically drained by the end of it. And then besides all that, so forget about all that. Now let's talk about the performance. Performing takes a lot out of you. Ask any comic that you know. Even if he's doing five. If he's doing 5 minutes, he gets a nice little adrenaline up there for 5 minutes, especially if he's killing it. Great set. Whew, it feels good. You go home and you feel like a little awake. But then you do 10 minutes, same thing. You know, you got that adrenaline going through you for 10 minutes. You feel a little awake when you go off stage, you know. And then the more time you start to do, 15. Now you're doing 15 to 25 minutes on stage. That adrenaline becomes like this physical exercise. You don't feel it while you're on stage because the adrenaline, you know, you don't feel it. You're having fun. And I mean, especially if people are laughing or it's a crowd that's intimate or a big crowd, if they're sat right intimately and the energy just shoots right through you, it's like a lightning bolt that shoots through you. And then when it's over, it's like, you know, it's like that scene in Spider-Man when, I think that's the Spider-Man that Joey's in, Spider-Man 2, when he's stopping the train with his body in the front of it, you know, and then when he finally stopped the train, he just collapsed and everybody caught him before he fell off the train, if you guys remember that. That's what it's like. Being on stage, it's like you're using so much of your strength. It's not even so much like, oh, it's not like weightlifting or aerobics. It's like It's electricity from the crowd that comes through you, and the electricity that you give back to them from being energetic and from putting your heart and soul and passion selling this joke or telling this story. The performance has got to like burn calories in some way, okay? I've talked about this before about the physical, how important it is that you have to be in a good physical shape to be a stand-up comic. You don't have to be, but you should. It helps a lot. So after, you know, I talked about all the pressure and everything, but now the performance. Man, I was exhausted. I really have to get in shape. I'm not saying I'm out of shape, but I am saying I have to be more disciplined. You know me, guys. I'm going on 9 months without meat, and I try my best to go, you know, I'll do 30 months no sugar, which I'm not doing right now, but I go back and forth and stuff like that. But I got to be more consistent with, like, I got to watch the carbs and the sugar. I got to start exercising, going to the gym and doing like aerobics more often. I mean, I do it. I love it. I love hiking and stuff. I don't do it enough. I need to be more on a good consistency and a rotation of that, because you have to build that adrenaline. You have to build that stamina to perform, because when you're doing these longer sets, so now you're a headliner and you're doing, you know, 40 to 60 plus minutes. It's just the wear and tear it takes on you. It's, guys, I can't describe it. And I don't even know how to physically explain it. Trust me, it's just something exhausting about it. And even if you're not an active physical comic, you just stand in place. The performance, the electricity that they give you, and the performance that you give back, if you're doing it right. And this weekend, I actually called Joey Diaz, and I called him, and it was like 11:30 or something. I was on my way back to my sister's house from the show. I was in the car driving. I was by myself, and I called him because I was thinking about him, because I knew he just got off on stage too. I think he was in Arizona this last weekend, but I was thinking about him, and I was just like, man, I think he's like 56, 57 years old. And now I know what he's talking about all the time. You know, he's been a headliner for years now, and he does 60 plus minutes. He's a big dude. He's, you know, like 56 years old. It takes a lot out of you. And now I know. I called him, I was thinking about you tonight. And he's like, why? I did 40 minutes in the first show. I did 45 in the second show because I was able to go a little bit longer. I think I did closer to 50 in the second show. I was able to go a little bit longer, and I just go like, it just is physically draining afterwards. I was like, you go home and you can just, I mean, yeah, you're a little awake from the adrenaline, but once you lay down, you could just like pass out. And everything hurts all over your butt. My muscles ache. I don't know what it is. And I just was like, I got what he was talking about all the time. And now I know why he goes to jiu-jitsu a couple times a week. I mean, he doesn't have to, but he does. You know, he could skip it all the time. He goes or you know, to the gym or kickboxing, I think he does, or kettlebells. I mean, he is really good and consistent about not missing it and doing a couple. It's extremely inspiring from a guy his age. Not that he's old, but I mean, compared to me, you know, I should have that work ethic. And I called him, I told him, and he was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, that's what I'm dealing with. He's like, I'll go home and I'll have to put my leg up and on ice. I'm telling you guys, my knee was hurting. I already got a bad knee anyway, but my knee was hurting. It was like I ran a marathon. That's what it feels like. So those are the two things that I really wanted to talk to you guys about today, which was the importance of keeping in shape if you're a performer, and sharing with you the experience of my journey and the ups and downs. And that's what this podcast is about, and how we're always aspiring to get to the next level, but get ready for the hard work that comes with it. You're always looking at the next thing going like, I want to do that. I want to be where that guy is. But I mean, you're going to be placed in that position when you can handle it. And that's why it takes so long to get there. I know you'll sit there and you'll go like, man, like, you know, this career takes forever. I just want to get there already. But if you're placed there too soon, you're not going to be able to handle it. It's not going to be good. So this is what you guys want. You know, I'm starting to headline more and more. And this is what it is, you guys. There's that pressure. $25 tickets to see me, man. I better fucking be good. I'm not, you know, In the Longest Yard or Spider-Man 2. I'm not on fucking Impractical Jokers or whatever TV shows you guys watch. I don't know. You know, I'm not TJ Miller. I'm not a movie star. I'm not a TV star. I'm not Kevin Hart, which, like, obviously he was, would be, you know, be a lot more than $25. But they're coming out and paying that much because they want to have a good time on Valentine's Day. You know, the idea that I'm pitching here, my tour, is about, it's called Laughs and Crafts. It's about bringing live stand-up comedy to beer tastings. People did it for wine tastings for many years, and now beer tastings is the rise in the country. You know, everybody does beers. There's so many different types of beers now that people actually have beer tastings. There's tap rooms, tasting rooms, and there's breweries all over the country, and I'm bringing live stand-up comedy to it, and that's what it is. So people go, that sounds like a great idea. You know, plus we don't live in an area where we can drive to the Comedy Store every night and see some of the best comics on the fucking planet. So we live in an area where, you know, I got two comedy clubs. I've been there a couple times, and, you know, the headliner was somebody that I knew, so he was either really good or he was disappointing, and then the opening acts were okay. Like, that's typically what they get. So, you know, the idea of someone going like, hey, an LA comic coming to my town, to my little brewery in my little neighborhood, for Valentine's Day, and it's like a beer tasting night. Oh yeah, you know, that's why they're paying for it, not because they're so excited to see you. They're excited to see comedy, and it's Valentine's Day. We want to have a good time. So that is up to you. That is a lot of pressure, and sometimes you got to take matters in your own hands, and you got to work hard to get these jobs, and so therefore you plan the shows. You know, you become your own agent sometimes, and now you got two full-time jobs, the performer and the business end of it, and both, you better bring it. You better follow through on your promises. And that is the points of this podcast today, and that is why I want to do a solo and talk to you guys. I think this was an important podcast to do, and I think that my podcast, Homeschool Podcast, overall is a very important podcast for stand-up comedians and anybody aspiring to be somewhere and has to learn all about it on their own. That's what I'm here for. I hope that you guys are enjoying it. I got some shout outs for you. I want to give a shout out to my man Hank955. Thank you so much. I want to give a shout out to Andy Rami and Miss Cookie81. I want to give a shout out to Daniela 929 Salazar. I want to give a shout out to my homegirl, Erica Duke One. She's doing big things. I see you out there. I want to give a shout out to GCI Tour and History Mama. Oh shit. I want to give a shout out to the Mark Wren. That's my dude. I want to give a shout out to Lola Marie Camacho. Thank you so much and keep working hard. I want to give a shout out and a big thank you to the Awkward Cougar. She did an amazing job emceeing this weekend. I want to give a shout out to Nick on Instagram. He's _Fucci_. Fucking keep at it, man. You got this. And I want to give a shout out to my dude, James Creviston. Thank you guys so, so much for all the love and support and inquiries, and just keep doing you. Keep supporting this podcast, please. Most importantly, keep supporting yourself and your dream. All right, you guys. Check the website Homeschool Pod for more dates coming up. The next one is this Wednesday. I'll be at the Comedy Store Wednesday the 19th at 8 o'clock in the Belly Room with Uncle Joey Diaz. It's his birthday. Pretty sure it's sold out, but that's my next date. For more, you can check the website, homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour. And don't forget to click the link in the description to get a quote for pet insurance from Embrace. It takes just a couple seconds, you guys. Just click the link in the description. And you're helping out the Homeschool Podcast and your pet at the same time. And that's pretty much it, you guys. I hope you got something from this. I hope it doesn't come across as arrogant or cocky or anything like that. I'm just a little confident, and most of all, just sharing what I learned. And I hope that it can help you at one point. That's it, you guys. It's early in the week. Pretend this is your Monday. Start fresh. Go out there. Go get them. This is your Monday. Who cares? Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, whatever the hell it is. This is your day, all right? Nothing else matters what's going on in somebody else's life. You got this. And I'll see you guys later in the week for another episode with a guest, and with my co-host, or at least that's the plan for right now. I'll see you guys later in the week. Have a great week. I'm Augustino Zoida. I'll see you next time.
Inside me, I see your face.